Tonight we're going to continue our study of the Old Testament book by book. We're going to be examining an overview of the book of Ezekiel. And at the very outset, I tried to give us some perspective, if you will, concerning the major prophets. In the book of Isaiah, his focus is on the salvation of the Lord. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah focuses on the judgment of God. The book of Daniel focuses on the kingdom of the Lord. The book of Ezekiel, though, focuses on the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel, by many people, is regarded as one of those portions of Scripture that has little spiritual value and really is one that has little contemporary relevance. Unfortunately, that is a false notion concerning this particular book, because it does have a vital message that is included in the book that is basically or essentially found nowhere else in the Bible, though it is added to and supplemented throughout the Bible. The book of Ezekiel has greatly been neglected, even by members of the church. It has, as a result of that, and as a result of our basic lack of knowledge concerning what is here, and because of those who are always seeking to find something new, they have investigated or sought out various things from this particular book, and it has become, as they say, the happy hunting ground for those who are cultists, for those who are critics, and for those who are simply the curious mongers for this particular book. It is cited by those who are self-styled as students of prophecy as proof that God's plan for the future includes the idea of the modern Zionist movement, whereby the Jews are going to go back to Jerusalem, go back to Palestine, even though in unbelief, and that the Russians are going to invade Israel, and thereby allowing the kingdom eventually, with Jesus' return, the kingdom to be set up there in the city of Jerusalem, where he will literally sit on David's throne for 1,000 years. There are many of those who hold to this particular idea, who have promoted this particular idea, and many of them, if not most of them, run to the book of Ezekiel in order to try to hold that false notion up. Those who are science fiction buffs many times go to the book of Ezekiel in order to try to find spaceships or the extraterrestrial recognized in the book of Ezekiel, which of course is not spoken of either. By the way, it is also such, needs to be remembered, that even those of the Mormon religion go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 15 through 23, and say that this is a prophetic allusion to, as far as the two sticks that are spoken of, that the one stick is that of the stick of Ephraim, and that that is actually a reference to the Book of Mormon, and the other stick is the stick of Judah, which is a reference to the Bible, and that God is going to use both of those to give his message to his people, when in fact it has nothing to do with that. What it is speaking of, I'll tell you in advance, what it is speaking of is in fact that those of Ephraim or those of Israel and those of Judah will once more be reunited under one king, and that king will be Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and that is the prophecy that is spoken of there. The author of the book of Ezekiel is Ezekiel, and it is brought out in several different places, but beginning with chapter 1, verse 3, he tells us that he is the one who is giving this particular book. As far as when it was written sometime after about 573 B.C., as near as we can tell, because that is the last confirmed date that we have in the book with the statements that are made from Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 1. It was written to those who were the Jews, who were captives in the land of Babylon by the river Kebar, where Ezekiel is also one of the captives. And he is writing to them in order to explain to them, reveal to them through the will of God, through the word of God, as to, first of all, why they are here and what the future is going to hold for them and for Israel. Well, what's the purpose of the book? Purpose of the book basically is twofold. It is in order to speak concerning the coming destruction of Jerusalem, but also that all hope is not lost, even though Jerusalem will be lost, even though the temple will be lost. Ezekiel's prophetic duty was, in fact, to first of all begin to explain to the Jews in captivity in Babylon as to why they're here, why this has to come about, why Judah must be destroyed as a nation and as the temple is destroyed as well, and that the reason, as we've pointed out from other books already, the reason is because of sin. Because the nation of Judah, the people of Judah, have in fact departed from God. They've departed from the will of God. They've departed from the law of God. They've gone into idolatry, and as a result of that, God is rejecting them in this condition. But God would one day regather the repentant remnant that he has chastened among his people, regather them to Jerusalem, back to their homeland, and once more, it will be such that God's eternal purpose will in fact be, it will be continued. The background concerning the book of Ezekiel. First of all, concerning the man, Ezekiel himself. His name means God strengthens, or God will strengthen. And certainly when you look at the book of Ezekiel, that is the very point behind the book that Ezekiel is trying to do. He is trying to strengthen the people of Israel, the people of Judah, for the fact that God has not left them on their own, but it is part of his plan to bring them back to him. He was born somewhere around 622 B.C., as near as we can tell. He is the son of a man by the name of Buzi or Buzi, whichever way you want to pronounce it. He is a Hebrew by birth. He is a Levite by tribe. He is a priest by profession. And he is going to be a prophet as well, just as Jeremiah was. He was carried away captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon at the age of 25, and he was taken along with King Jehoiakim, as well as the princes, the military leaders, the craftsmen, and all those others in about 597 B.C. He lived in his own house, from the indications from the book, that was there by the river Kebar, on the river Kebar, Ezekiel chapter 1, and chapter 8. And we also find out that in the ninth year of his captivity, which would have been 4 years after he began to prophesy for God, we find that his wife dies, Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 18. And yet, God commands Ezekiel that he is not to shed a single tear for the death of his wife. He is not to show any mourning to the people, as an object lesson to the people that in fact they have been rebellious against God and they are the ones who have departed and in effect died because of their rebellion. The book also makes no mention concerning Ezekiel having any children at all. But Ezekiel is contemporary with the prophets Jeremiah and Daniel, and we have noted at other times how that God saw fit to make sure that the people of God were taken care of by way of prophecy, no matter where they were. Daniel is prophesying in the palace in Babylon under the control of Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah is prophesying back in the homeland in Judah, now under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar as well. And now Ezekiel is going to be prophesying among the captives by the river Kibar in Babylon. And there seems to be indication from various things that are stated that it may very well be that Ezekiel knew Daniel and that Daniel knew Ezekiel as well. Jewish legend, and it is only legend. Let me state that because we have no idea at all. Jewish legend says that Ezekiel was executed by a Jewish prince because of his prophecies concerning the fact that Jerusalem would fall and the temple had to be destroyed and all of that, and that he was buried in the tomb of Shem and Arphaxad. But again, that is just legend. We don't know. As far as the book of Ezekiel itself, it stands as the fourth major prophet, as far as the books are concerned, of prophecy, the major prophets. It ranks second in actual words, number of words, to determine the size of the book behind the book of Jeremiah. And it stands third as far as overall size in greatness of all the books of the Bible, behind the book of Psalms and then the book of Jeremiah. The message of Ezekiel is one of divine justice as well as divine mercy, that sin must be punished because it destroys men as well as nations. And Ezekiel pictures the certainty as well as the severity of God's judgment on those backsliding and impenitent people of God. And that is in fact the reason behind the judgment that is being brought against them. The message of Ezekiel is summed up in four words mainly. That is sin, then comes punishment, then comes repentance, and finally will come the blessing. That is very much along the same line as the book of Judges. That cycle happens over and over and over again in the book of Judges with the people of God. The book of Ezekiel has been debated quite often as to whether or not it really even belongs in the Bible. And one of the reasons it is debated is because there is no specific reference to Ezekiel or the book of Ezekiel in the New Testament. No specific reference by Jesus, no specific reference by the apostles, no specific reference by the prophets of the New Testament to this particular book, and yet it has such a great part in the Old Testament, and there are very many notable passages in the book itself. Chapter 1 deals with Ezekiel's vision concerning the glory of God. Chapter 3 and chapter 33 speak concerning Ezekiel's call to be God's watchman for his people. Chapter 7 as well as chapter 9 speaks concerning the fall of Jerusalem and how that it came as a consequence of their sin. It was a direct result of their sin and their leaving the will of God and the word of God. Chapter 13, Ezekiel's reproof of those who were lying prophets that Jeremiah spoke about when Jeremiah said they would teach and preach peace, peace, when there is no peace. These are the same ones of which Ezekiel speaks about in chapter 13. Chapter 37, that one chapter that we made mention of earlier, is the chapter that speaks concerning the valley of dry bones and the bones coming back together and back to life, which is a vision concerning the restoration of Israel back to Judah, back to Jerusalem. Chapter 39 is again speaking concerning the restoration and how that it is also going to be a restoration of God's people to his cause of righteousness. Well, by way of background, we also need to notice concerning the conditions of the Jews. As far as political and social conditions, the Jews living as captives in Babylon are those who are basically by the Babylonians treated as colonists, it appears, and not as slaves as we would normally think. They lived in their own houses, as Ezekiel does. They increased in number by way of population, but they were also allowed to accumulate wealth. And so it was more as colonists than as slaves, though they could not leave just because they wanted to. By way of religious conditions, they were free to worship in Babylon as they chose, even as Daniel did, though there were those who were against him for doing such. But because of the false prophets who are also there and have been taken captive, the exiles at first opposed Ezekiel's pleas that they must in fact return to God before they would be allowed to return to Jerusalem. And then by way of the fall and the restoration of Jerusalem and of the temple, it is because of the admonitions in Jerusalem that the glory of God, or the abominations rather, the abominations of those in Jerusalem, that the glory of God has in fact departed from the temple and departed from the city, Ezekiel brings out in Ezekiel chapter 9 and chapter 10. That also is by point of interest, the reason as to why Jerusalem could be taken, why the temple could be destroyed. Because, as Ezekiel brings out, God has departed. God left because of their rebelliousness. After the captivity, a remnant of the people of Judah will be allowed to return. The temple will be restored. The city will be rebuilt. God's glory will once more come back to Jerusalem, as Ezekiel brings out in chapter 43. There are many keys to the book of Ezekiel, as we have pointed out concerning all the books. The key word is that of glory. Remember, the glory of the Lord is the main emphasis, focal point of the book of Ezekiel. The key phrase is, "They shall know that I am the Lord God," used some 66 times in the book. Along with that is the phrase, "the glory of the Lord," which is used 14 times in the first 11 chapters of the book of Ezekiel. Key verses would certainly include Ezekiel chapter 18 and in verse 4, where there the prophet Ezekiel says to those by the river Kibar, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die," God says through Ezekiel. And then chapter 18 and in verse 20, God says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Demonstrating, as we'll notice again later, individual responsibility. And then there is also Ezekiel chapter 33 and in verse 11. And there the prophet Ezekiel, speaking to those by the river Kibar, says, "For God, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God's call of repentance to those in captive. The key chapter is chapter 37. That we have already noted, and it outlines Israel's future, that in fact they will be returned, those who have repented, those who will turn back to God will be allowed to return back to Jerusalem and back to Judah and once more be able to live in their homeland. Very brief outline concerning the book of Ezekiel. First three chapters is the commission that Ezekiel receives from God. Chapter 4 through 24, the judgment of God on Judah. Chapter 25 through chapter 32, the judgment of God on the Gentiles. And chapter 33 through chapter 48, the restoration of Judah and Israel to the land of Israel. We've always tried to notice concerning Christ being in the books of the Old Testament. And even though there is not a specific reference or prophecy necessarily concerning the Christ, he is certainly alluded to in various places in the book, but it is also such that Ezekiel could be described as a type of Christ, that which serves as an outline or a fashion of the one to come. And as such, one of the ways that it does that is by the fact that over and over and over again in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is called by God Son of Man. And when you read the gospel records, lo and behold, that was seemingly the favorite phrase that Jesus used to describe himself, Son of Man. And so there seems to be a tie between those two, and the idea simply means that it is one who is human as compared to the divine who gives the message or calls the one who is human. And so when you compare Ezekiel, as far as his life is concerned, to that of the Christ, you find where both were called Son of Man multiple times. You find where both were despised and rejected by their brethren. You will also notice that they were both men of sorrows and they were acquainted with grief. They were also those who prophesied concerning the coming destruction of Jerusalem, as well as prophesied concerning the coming destruction of the temple. They both taught using parables and stories, and both of them spoke concerning the achieved salvation for the remnant, for the small remnant that would be remaining. And so certainly it is such that Ezekiel is a type of the Christ who is to come. What are some of the lessons we can learn from this particular book? Well, certainly we can understand and we can learn concerning the grave responsibility of a watchman for the Lord, as is brought out in chapter 3 as well as chapter 33. Because Ezekiel is given the responsibility of warning the wicked of their wicked ways and trying to call them back to repentance, call them back to God. Ezekiel is told that if God gives him a message of warning and he does not proclaim it, then the blood of these people who are going to be lost will be on his hands. God will hold him accountable for such. But God goes on to say that if God gives him a message of rebuke to speak against the people and he speaks the message and they do not heed it, God is still going to punish the people. But Ezekiel will not be held accountable for it. He's done what he was supposed to do as God's watchman. And therefore, God will not require their blood at his hand. He is one that we might classify as being one responsible for comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. And certainly that is the case. He was to preach to the people who were described as being stiff-necked or stiff-hearted, as well as being hard of forehead, stubborn, if you will. And certainly when you read the account concerning the Jews during this time, that was an accurate description concerning them, most assuredly. Another lesson that we can learn from the book of Ezekiel is the idea of prostitution of God's people. This is not literal prostitution, though certainly there was some of that that was involved. This is spiritual prostitution. And it is a most graphic description concerning spiritual adultery that is found in Scripture, found in the Bible, that their unfaithfulness to God is shown to be of such a horrific nature as far as God is concerned, that it could only be described in the most shocking terms, the most reprehensible terms, and that being the idea of prostituting themselves. Judah's sins, Ezekiel says, have in fact exceeded those of her sisters, Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, remember the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah were the sins of homosexuality. And it is such that Ezekiel says that Judah's sins have even surpassed Sodom and Gomorrah's sins in these ways. And then God also describes the Jews as being harlots, that they are even worse than harlots because, as Ezekiel brings out, harlots are paid for their services. But the people of God are rather paying the heathen to conduct their services rather than being paid, as if that would make it justifiable. Ezekiel is the only writer that tells of Israel's idolatry in Egypt and how that God at first had intentions to destroy them while they were still in Egypt before they ever came out being led by Moses. Ezekiel chapter 20 verses 1 through 9. We can also learn from the book of Ezekiel concerning individual responsibility, as we've already made mention. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Chapter 18 verses 1 through 4 and chapter 33 beginning in verse 10. It is the idea that men suffer not just for the sins of others, but for their own sins that they have committed. They are responsible for them. And so it is individual responsibility. We can also learn concerning the necessity of repentance in order to obtain forgiveness of sins. Ezekiel chapter 18, chapter 14, and chapter 33. Also from the book of Ezekiel, we can learn concerning the tragedy of sin. It is because of sin that God had no pleasure in their death or of the death of the wicked, but it was such that they were going to be destroyed nonetheless because of that. And he brings out in chapter 8 that even though he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, it is such that his patience had run out with them because they had lived in such a way as they considered the abominations of which they were guilty, as far as God was concerned, they considered them as to be simply a light thing. And God shows to them that is not the case. People thought that God couldn't see their evil deeds, and therefore they had set up idols in their own hearts. Chapter 14, verse 3. As a result of that, the Lord is going to rebuke them because they are hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31, which is exactly what James speaks of in James chapter 1, verses 22 and 25, in speaking concerning Christians. We can also learn concerning the fact that God has his watchmen. And God chose Ezekiel, whom he called the Son of Man, more than 90 times in this particular book, to be a watchman in behalf of those of Israel or Judah. And as a watchman over the house of Israel, Ezekiel must speak to warn the wicked from his way. Chapter 33, verse 8. And as we've already pointed out, if Ezekiel failed to deliver the message that God had given to him, God would hold him responsible for their blood. God was going to punish him anyway. The only question was whether Ezekiel would be held accountable and responsible for it by not delivering the message. But Ezekiel also brings out in chapter 14, verses 14 and 20, that if Noah were alive, Daniel was still alive, if Job were still alive, they could have only saved themselves among these people because these people would not repent and they would not change. They were so stubborn. In chapters 40 through 48, we can also learn concerning the vision of the temple. And yet this temple is not speaking concerning Zerubbabel's temple that was rebuilt after the return to Jerusalem. It is not a reference concerning Herod's temple that he would build onto Zerubbabel's temple at the end of the first century B.C., but rather, it is speaking concerning the Lord's temple, which would be the church. And it speaks concerning the time when Jesus would give himself as that perfect sacrifice for mankind. And it is speaking concerning the coming Christian age, the New Testament age, whereby the law of Christ is going to be in effect, when God's people, the church, are in fact the place where God dwells. They are his temple, as Paul speaks, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. One final note concerning a lesson to be learned from the book of Ezekiel, by way of comparison anyway, is that the book of Ezekiel is often compared to the book of Revelation that the Apostle John recorded, which of course is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John and that John records there. But Ezekiel resembles the Apostle John in the way that he writes many times because his book contains many symbols that are used to get across God's message to his people at that particular time. And even though many of those symbols end up causing us problems to try to understand for sure exactly what is being presented here, it did not cause a problem to the Jews because they were used to these kinds of symbols being used to speak concerning things of God. But both men were in fact in exile when they were called to prophesy in these particular incidences. And both of them were going through a period when God's people were being oppressed at the time that they are going to begin writing and preaching and speaking. Both are told, both John and Ezekiel, told to take a little book and to eat it, though it's not speaking concerning a literal book that is to be eaten here, but rather it is a reference to the Word of God that has been revealed to them. They are to take it within and to make it a part of themselves, delivering it to those who are their people. Both Ezekiel and the book of Revelation, written by John, were written describing visions, describing various symbols related to things concerning the people of God, and both of them foretold that victory would eventually come to those who were the righteous. And so there is that comparison between the two. Now, unfortunately, many look at the book of Revelation and then they run back to the book of Ezekiel to look at similar symbols and they say they must be speaking concerning the same thing, and that is not the case. The book of Ezekiel. It certainly brings home the fact that the man who comes to God with idols in his heart is one who is going to answer according to the multitude of his own idols. That was a description of the Jews. That was a description of the people of God at this particular time. And if he does not repent, if he does not turn away from his idols, then they will in fact make him a stumbling block to others, and God will destroy him. And that is exactly what Ezekiel brings out in Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. God wants all men to be saved. Yes, it's brought out in the book of Ezekiel. It's brought out in many, many of the books of the Bible, and especially in the New Testament. But salvation is only going to come to those who obey the will of God. Those who obey what the Word of God teaches.